podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Liverpool 3, Man City 1. Liverpool dismantle Manchester City. They destroy Manchester City. Show them the way to go home. Neil Dockett, Bill Shankly once said his idea was to build Liverpool up and up and up until they have to send the team from bloody Mars to beat us. Well, I say tonight, Neil, go and get them Wolves from Mars, because we will fucking bang them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Man City, they're one of the best teams you've ever seen, aren't they? Full of incredible players. You've got Sterling on the wing with Aguero, trying to double-team the big dog, Dixie Lovren, and he's having none of it. Give me your Aguero, give me your Raheem Sterling. Him and Trent, magnificent. A real captain's performance from Henderson. The midfield were fantastic, weren't they? Fabinho, absolutely out of this world. Genie running all day. And we just picked them apart on the counter. Them first 5 minutes, I was so nervous. I couldn't eat a thing today. I felt physically sick. Fucking hell, I was beside myself. What was I worrying about? 2-0 after 20-odd minutes. Have some of that. The Reds are just magnificent. They are a glorious football team. And we showed it to everyone today. You oil-rich, tactical fouling, tiki-taka cunts. Have some of that.
I mean, tiki-taka cunts indeed. The pub is rammed. It is noisy. And they are showing the goals behind us again. So it's going to get loud. Steve Graves, I've got one question for you. Have you any idea who's top of the league?
Is it Liverpool?
Liverpool, top of the league.
Oh, yeah.
Liverpool, top of the league.
9 points. Unbelievable. I mean, what a dream scenario. Like, you just could not have even begun to imagine it. You couldn't begin to write this. It's absolutely ludicrous that Liverpool are where they are. It's an absolute mountain for anyone to climb now. So good luck to Leicester City and their efforts, because they're gonna do really well. And there's a big game in about for third coming up between Chelsea and City. So we'll look forward to seeing that, because we've seen both of those sides. We've seen all of them sides. We've beaten them all. Not just today, not just today. We left Manchester City in four today. We're beating the two other sides ahead of them. So let's not forget, there isn't a top four, there's a top one. And then three others, and then everyone else who you don't even need to worry about at all.
Steve is completely right. Joe, I was thinking that walking down here, I thought, we played the rest of the top four. Man City are in their gang, they're not in ours.
Yeah, and that's the mad thing about this. How mad is it that we played everyone? We played everyone that we've got to fucking play. And they have only played us and Tottenham. And they're now going to play Chelsea in a couple of weeks. So, as you fucking were, Man City, you're fucking 9 points behind us. Were they clear the fucking seconds? As you were. And they've just got to roll with it now. Fucking, we've rolled them. They've come to Anfield today and they've been rolled. We didn't even need, the last 20 minutes, we didn't really need to steamroll them. We went 3-0 up. And that was the most important thing for me. We needed the third goal. If we'd have conceded the third goal, I'd have been shit myself. I'd have been a bit, nah, this might happen. But we got the fair goal, we took the slung out of the game, okay. They had a lot of the ball in the last 20. They got the goal back, which I was really, really annoyed about, because I love clean sheets. I really love clean sheets. And
absolute Linden over there.
Honestly, mate, you cannot sleep with dirty sheets. You've got to have clean sheets all the way. But listen, a win's a win. And we're fucking on to the next one now. They've got to come and catch us. Catch us if you can.
Joe Richards, a man who's definitely got a maid out of guitar, that's all I'm saying. I want to talk about the goals, boys, because the goals are glorious and worthy of our attention one by one. I will start with the first one, Neil Dockett. What amazes me about this team, what I thought we were brilliant at today, was we were intense when we needed to be. Yeah. We were calm at other moments. We started the game with intensity, but we were just calm in these moments when when it mattered, when it mattered, when we wanted it to be calm, we were. And obviously says that more than Firmino.
Yeah.
He strokes it in from 25 yards.
he really does.
The ball, you take a touch, he just strokes it in like he's playing in the park.
You know, one thing about him that you soon notice, he's always got so much time on the ball, hasn't he, Firmino?
Yeah.
He's always got time. Like, he just slows it right down. The way he just sort of, like, walks around people is a joy to behold. He'll, like, take a touch, just shuffle it to one side and just step around someone. And like you say, he places that in, doesn't he? And everyone's urging him to shoot, but you don't really think he will because, you know, 9 times out of 10, he'll lay it off to the wing. As it's such a good finish. And, like, they did start well, City, didn't they? You know, they were pressing hard. They were making life difficult for us. They were seeing a lot of the ball. And then that really just sucked the wind out of their sails, didn't it?
Steve Graves, you get the second goal, you lucky bastard. Tell me about Trent's pass. Tell me about Robbo's cross. Tell me about how lucky we are to have Mo Salah.
I mean, the pass is out of this world. You just couldn't even begin. How do you even begin to see that? How do you even begin to have that level of telepathy, I suppose, with a player on the pitch, with... Just to see about five moves ahead, it's absolutely sensational. And then for Robertson to miss out Firmino with the cross, because Firmino, you can see him, he's right there. And Firmino himself is aware that he shouldn't go for that because Salah's there. And then the header from... So I haven't seen it back yet. I appreciate what a great header it was, because from my end of the ground, I'm so far away from it. It almost looks relatively simple, but it's not. He's quite far out and he heads it. He really heads it. It's just a great header. And what a move, and just what a statement, what a real statement of intent those two goals were in that game. Regardless of everything else, you know, between the two boxes, Manchester City played some good football, but we talk about being good in both boxes. My word, like the absolute quality, the impact and quality of them goals is just, it kills them. It leaves them dead on their feet for a little while. And we come back out after we score that second goal. There's a moment when about seven of our players are running, almost running at their defence. And they're in disarray. I think, you know, again, if we'd have scored another one at that point, it could have been a really, really big score. And we've credit City's credit, they get a foot all back in the game, but just devastating blows.
Joe Richards, Liverpool get the third. We score the third at a really good time, it must be said. Sadio Mane gets called a diver. He dived the fuck out of that header. Hey,
he can fucking dive however many times he wants if he's going to score goals like that. But just two things, right? First thing, right, I think I'm going to have to listen to this back because I can't barely hear anyone. So you know the way you watch the match back? I'm going to listen to this back because I need to know what's being said. But the fair goal, right, that was like me trying to keep the ball out in the five sides on the pitch. Fucking Chris Bands trying to push it into the net. But the ball that comes in, it's just reminiscent to me of the second goal where the cross has come in from Henderson, and what a ball it is as well. And he's just, the way he's just come in, bravo. Doesn't know what he's doing. He generally gets caught between what to do here. Do a come full out and punch it, or do a try and just tip this out wide in the corner, and then he's just caught. Angelino gets fucked up as well. And then the way Mane's just diving at it, it was just absolutely superb. And as you say, John, it was the perfect time to score, because if we'd have left it another 5-10 minutes, City might have got a goal. We might have got the goal, and then Anfield would have been flapping themselves more than what they actually did in the last 10-15 minutes.
The pump's just put dignity on. I'm not sure what's going to happen. This podcast might not even come out. Neil Dockin, I want to big up some of these boys. I want to champion some of our heroes. I'll start in the back. Alisson, he just makes everything look easy. He just fucking grabs shit out the air, that kid.
He just claims everything, just claims cheese. He's just so good on the ball. They keep pressing him. They're like trying so hard, aren't they, to cut off his options when he's looking for the pass. And Alisson, just every time, he's just so comfortable on the ball. I mean, I found it really interesting the way that City, they tried to hit us from wide, didn't they, time and time again. They keep trying to cross it into the box. They didn't really try and play through the middle. They're obviously so scared of being dispossessed in the centre of the park against Liverpool. They think they're going to have joy crossing in from out wide. But they've got amazing quality from De Bruyne. Amazing quality from set pieces. Time and time again, Alisson just rises and just picks it out of the air. And then when you've got Big Virgil as well, and the big dog, come on, bring it on. We're happy to surrender that space to time out wide. Just say, do your best. We're happy with this.
Can I just say, John Knight, Alisson, yeah. Alisson is allowed to wear leggings because of how boss he is. Any other goalkeeper, yeah, I wouldn't be having it. He couldn't get away with it, but Alisson, because it's him, because of how sexy he is and because of how many boss saves he makes. He can wear leggings as long as he wants. He can genuinely get away with it because he's that boss. He can do whatever he wants.
Okay, moving through the team, Steve. Trent Alexander-Arnold, he was up against Raheem Sterling for most of the game. Raheem Sterling had by far the best game he's had at Anfield. Yeah. Oh, he's bang up for it. He obviously really wanted it today. He caused Trent problems. He's going to. He's brilliant. But I thought Trent handled it brilliantly.
Yeah, you know, it's occupational hazard. As a fullback, you're going to get targeted sometimes. You're going to be put through examinations and tests. And particularly when you're coming up against the other team's best player, their informed player, you know, absolutely flying. Whereas some of their other big names today, I don't think quite delivered at all in terms of output. Sterling was just consistently testing and probing and strong, winning headers. You know, he was absolutely brilliant, which is only emphasises how well Trent Alexander-Arnold plays, not just in his right back duties, but then when he gets his chance to pick some of them rangy passes, and then a couple of runs to run near the end when he just basically gambles and tries to run through them all. Just unbelievable energy that late in the game. The amount of times him and Robertson find themselves switching positions. It's just so fluid. It's just the understanding between the two of them is amazing, and I've ever seen it really from fullbacks. Yeah. Normally, you just think they're as far away from each other as they can be, and they're doing their own jobs. They're clearly, you know, they're a team. They're a double act. They're a duo as much as any strike force or centre back pairing you've ever seen. It's absolutely remarkable the quality that we've got. To a certain extent, we've stumbled upon the managers spotted innate quality in a young midfielder. You know, and the club as a whole have done an amazing job in making him the best right back in the world. Absolutely fantastic. And then the other lad, who we signed from Hull for about 5 million, you know, 8 million quid, whatever it was. Again, just all around the whole football club, just everyone can be so proud of all of those players.
Moving on to the centre halves, I can't be arsed with Virgil, Joel. I'm all about the big dog. I'm all about the big dog. He was throwing his body on the line. He was pumped. I'm sure he just bumped a fella in the main stand at one point. Dexy Lovren, take a bow. No. I didn't want to start him. It turns out I'm a bigger knobhead than Pep Guardiola.
Why didn't you want him to start?
Because I'm a bigger knobhead than Pep Guardiola.
Gibbo, he played in the quarter-final in both legs. He was sound against City then. These are the kind of games that Dexy lives for, right? And you know what? One of my best mates, he won't listen to this. I don't know why he doesn't listen to this, but anyway, he hates Lovren with a passion. He's always hating him. And you know what, right? I've always had a bit of a soft spot for him. Don't get me wrong. He's had his moments. But, you know, today, right, you can't fault Lovren there. That was the kind of game he lives for. That's the kind of game he thrives in. And I know he has his mistakes and all that, but I don't know why. It must be games against Man City that he plays well in, that he looks $1 million, that he looks like the world's best centre-half. And I just thought, me today, that was probably his best game for Liverpool in a long time. And he thought, I just thought he was absolutely fantastic. In fact, I go as far as to say, he was as good as, if not better than Van Dijk. There, put down your pipe and smoke it.
Neil Docherty had more swag than D'Lo Brown. He was blocking stuff, he was in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you didn't know, you better call somebody.
You better recognise.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, he was so up for it, wasn't he? And Aguero is such a slippery customer. The same with Sterling. The movement of those two is just unreal. At times, Sterling just dribbles past like two or three players. My dad's saying to me, how's he done that? How have we let him do that? Because he's brilliant. Because he's brilliant, that's why. But, you know, we survived. I know when Henderson goes off, we do lose a bit of control. There was that spell, I think, when Henderson went off. Milner came on full of enthusiasm. But we weren't keeping the ball well enough for the last 20, 25. We were just handing it back to them, essentially, weren't we? Just lumping it long. And they kept coming and coming. But we trusted our defensive qualities.
We trusted our ability to see it out. And that's exactly what we did.
The win of the game. Victory!
It's as jubilant in this pub as you can imagine it should be. Steve Graves, I mean, the Henderson sum's a funny one, isn't it? I'll carry on going through the team in a minute, but Neil's brought that up. It must be an injury because Aubameyang and Klopp gets criticised for making subs too late. He makes this one really early. When in control of the game, it must be. He must have felt something, Henderson.
I think, or maybe just a little bit of, you know, condition, a little bit of. I don't know. I mean, he, just before it, he plays a magnificent sort of airborne back heel the real sort of showboat moment, really, which is not what you'd normally associate with him. He'd obviously put the ball in for Mane not long before he comes off the pitch. I think probably another five to eight minutes would have felt better in the context of the game to bring him off him. But again, that's with hindsight, because we've seen City go on and score and, you know, put us under pressure late in the game. I think that was going to happen anyway. I think it may have made sense to just move things around a little bit and go with maybe Origi as a bit more of an outfall, a bit more of an option to hold it up, because we were sort of necessarily lumping it long, and I understood why. But then I suppose, you know, the argument is with Mane Salah, you only need to be lucky once with one of those, and a couple of times Liverpool very nearly are. So it was an interesting change, I'd say, and you know, he doesn't have to get everything right all the time, he just has to win games for Liverpool, and he keeps on doing that. So but Henderson's performance as a whole, it was great to see him last off the pitch, you know, with the song. It's a shame his name will never lend itself to a good song. We've got there with that one, and you know, it's all right, but it's never going to lend itself. But I think, you know, that appreciation for him from around the ground, it's been a long time coming, you know, that acceptance in what it put into Leo, 7-8 years now, 8 years, which is a long time to have to go through. But him and Lovren as well, you know, it's going to be one of the longest serving defenders, you know, in Liverpool's modern history when Lovren leaves the club. And he'll have had so many high points, so many big moments during all that. It's easy to forget in the here and now when you're angry with people for not doing whatever you want them to do. They're real veterans, and you know, there's a player, again to the manager's credit, it's a player who's like three managers back now. Henderson signed by Damian Comoli, and that again, at no point has the manager been tempted to go, I'll just try something else. I'll just chance my arm on another signing. I'll treat myself. He's stuck with his players, and he's stuck with his lads and their characters and their personalities, because he knows the football when he sees them.
Just following up on the point Steve was making there about, you know, players that sometimes will come in for criticism. With Mo Salah, right, because he was so unbelievable in his first season, I think I, like a lot of other dickheads, have got on his back a little bit in recent weeks. Not calling him out or anything, but at times you just think, oh, come on, Mo, show us a little bit more, because you know what he's capable of. Salah gets the ball 30 yards from goal, and in your head, he's going to skip past two people and put it in the top corner, because that's what Mo Salah does. But he's been playing with an injury, and he's been struggling a little bit for form, struggling a little bit for confidence. And all of us, you can't help but get a little bit on his back and just say, like, be the Mo Salah we know you can be. And I thought today he was really determined to be the real Mo Salah. He really brought so much energy, so much passion, so much hard work, especially in that opening half. I really thought he was bang up for it, Mo. You know, I've heard like lazy shouts coming his way and stuff like that. And it's bullshit, really.
Yeah.
Mo Salah's not fucking lazy. He's a top, top elite footballer who really does give his all. And like I say, he's been struggling with an ankle injury, but tonight he was chasing things down. He was harrying. And I'm so made up for him that he got his goal. And I'm so made up that he rammed it down everyone's throats and showed he is a big game player.
Well, yeah. Hang on. Right, here's one for you, right. Do you know how many goals him and Mane are on for Liverpool? So many goals they're on at the moment, right? So, one of the lads on Twitter, Borlando, he's been keeping an eye on how many goals they're on. And I've been keeping an eye on it myself, because they were far off 100 for Liverpool. And this season, right, there's the potential, if the pair of them score over 20 goals this season, they could both end the season with 100 goals for Liverpool. Think about that. I think at the moment, Salah's on maybe 79, 80. Mane's not far behind. Potentially, at the end of this season, two of the greatest strikers in our history will be on 100 goals. And they're already, I think Mo's only a couple behind Torres and Suarez. That's how many goals he's scored.
Torres gets 81.
Just think about that. You know, when everyone's thinking, Mo's not on it, Salah's not on it, he's being terrible, he's out of form. Look at his record. Look at how many goals he's scored at Anfield and how many games. We're currently watching two of the greatest strikers in our history
So I want to talk about Firmino as well, Steve, because it's a quiet game for him in many ways. You know, there's it's a couple of stop shots, but it would surprise me when you analyse, when you look at the heat maps, he's probably the furthest back in the three. It's a consummate team performance, I think, and I don't remember him doing anything wrong in the whole game.
No, he barely puts a foot wrong. I think with him and with Salah, a big part of this is how exciting we should be excited, because we know there's more to come. We know that Salah, well, it'd be overstated to say that Salah isn't playing well, because he's scoring goals, he's all there, but you know, as you say, Neil, you know he can play better, and you know Firmino can maybe not necessarily play better, but he can be the superstar for Firmino rather than the incredibly good technician that he is, you know, around it.
Yeah.
And so Liverpool, imagine if they really start firing. That's a scary thing if you looked at him and you went, is there more to come from those two forwards? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. And that's not a criticism of them, because I think they've both been brilliant as well. But Liverpool, they're getting things now from everywhere. You know, the goals, we've seen the number six has broken a deadlock today. You see Van Aldem scoring midweek. You know, Liverpool were criticised for not being able to score all around the pitch. Van Aldem scores the key goal at Sheffield United. Adam Lallana comes on and scores a goal. The goals are coming from other places now. Alexander-Arnold's weighed in. Robertson scored. You know, it's coming all around the pitch. And then you've got 25, 30, 40 goal a season forwards still there in the wings. And they're also scoring at, you know, close to that rate as well. It's amazing.
Steve, that's what we've been crying out for all season, though, hasn't it? If there was one criticism of this Liverpool team, it's that the goals weren't getting shared around, as you said, last season. This season, as you said already, you pointed out who scored in the goals and when. Surely, if anything, that's a marker as to how better we are now than what we were compared to last season, because it was all falling on, as you say, the front three. And if that carries on, if the likes of your Fabinho's, your Wijnaldum's, your Henderson's, your Oxlade-Chamberlain's, if they all keep scoring, then surely that's only going to be a good sign, because that's what Man City have been doing. They get vital goals from Gundogan, from De Bruyne, from David Silva, from Bernardo. That's why they won the league, if anything, over the last couple of years, because they shared it around.
And it just, everyone feels so much even more a part of it. You know, when we've all played footy, at whatever terrible level we've all played at, you know that even if you play poorly, you know, Getting a goal for yourself somewhere in a, you know, it's, even on five a side on a Wednesday night or whatever, you know, scoring a goal feels great. And most of them now in that whole first team have had one this season already, which is amazing. The real collective sense that everyone's together, even more so, which was already the master strength of this side.
So I'm absolutely delirious here. I can't put into words how much this has occupied my every waking thought since about like Tuesday. Every single time I've had
like
a moment.
Tuesday to be September.
Like every single time I've had like a minute to myself, I've just been thinking like, oh my God, we're playing Man City on Sunday. We've got to get a result here. Because last season, you know, there was such fine margins with a draw at Anfield, was losing at the Etihad. That's what cost us the title. But that is a massive, massive win for us today. And now they've got to play Chelsea, haven't they? They've got to play Leicester. They've got to play Man United. They've got to play Arsenal. Over to you, dickheads. It's absolutely brilliant. It's so good to see the Reds lay down such a marker. And yes, it's early in the season. There's a long way to go. Nothing's won yet. But that is a big step. A big step we've taken today to be in the Champions of England, which is what we all want so badly.
I just want to give a shout out to this team, Steve, before we sort of start to round up, because they came second last year on 97 points, which must have been so hard. That running from March to May, when they were winning every week, but City were winning as well. Just the ridiculousness of the company goal. They went from losing the league, in effect, on 97 points. He went and then won the Champions League in Madrid. And then they came back and went, OK, we came second on 97 points. So we will now start the league at a pace that this country has never fucking seen in its fucking life. We'll beat the team who's second. We'll beat the team who's third. We'll beat the team who's fourth. I've got a fucking clue what pricks are fit. But we probably beat them as well.
It's Arsenal. We beat them.
Maybe. We beat them as well. That is unreal.
Yeah, it is. It is unreal. And it's two seasons in a row now Liverpool have come back from the worst possible thing happening to you know, I mean, think about Kiev. the circumstances of... I forgot this, that Liverpool started that game really well, and I think Liverpool would have won that game in Kiev, but for a heartbreaking injury and you know, some moments of madness in goal, which you just can't legislate for. But Liverpool, the majority of those players still there, just took a deep breath and came back harder last season. So he's got a template there to say to them, the worst thing possible happened in 2018, and in 2019 he came back and won that Champions League. So, you know, if losing the league is the worst thing that can happen to him that season, we made that right as well. And we have. It's absolutely unbelievable. Liverpool, the pace they've gone at is just so wild. And as you say, they played everyone. You know, Everton are a special team in terms of us playing them because, you know, they'll raise the game and it's a derby and all of that's important. That's really the only one. You know, we start Crystal Palace away. That's never going to be an easy game, but we said that about almost every game, and we've won 11 out of 12 with him, and we drew the other one. It's unbelievable.
You know what, right? Sorry, can I say the proof's in the pudding there. Pep Guardiola's just said that it's the most difficult stadium in the world, so we can't be wrong, can he? And I bet you're right, how gutted is he that he's got to fucking put up with the Etihad Stadium? He must look around that ground every week and just think, what the fuck am I doing here? Why am I here? Like, how gutted must he be having to be at the Etihad every other home game and put up with them gang of dickheads when he wish he could be like Klopp, having to put up with Arlo? The way we go and roll teams over, whereas they just cancel to wins. It's a bold, you don't even sell it out half the time. He's got to put up with all that, and no wonder he must be thinking about packing it in at the end of the season if he's up in the Champions League, because he must be sick and tired of it. There's no atmosphere there, there's no soul, no nothing. He wants to come in here and have a listen to this. This is what he wants, this is what he really wants. This is what he wants, but he's never going to fucking get it. Because, unlucky dickhead, you got to pull up with them lots down the East Lancs.
I think we're done. I think that's it. It's been an amazing day. They're an amazing team. As Pep Guardiola himself says, they're an amazing crowd. And we should all be proud of this football team. We should be proud of ourselves. We've been working towards it before, but here we are. We're watching the champions elect. Right, but it's clear. It's not over, but fucking hell, this team are great. Thanks to Neil, thanks to Joel, thanks to Steve. Massive shout out to Andy, who's been producing in testing conditions, but I'm sure they're conditions that you appreciate. You want us in amongst it. You want to hear what it's like in the pubs, around the ground, after Liverpool have just beat Man City 3-1. Well, this is fucking it. It's as warm as it gets. Up the fucking Reds.
As you were.
Thank you for listening to the Anfield Wrap. Listen, you're probably going to get bored of this over the next few weeks. We're putting this at the end of every show. It's Neil Atkinson here, whether I hosted this show or not, to ask you to vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. To do that, you go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote, and there you'll find it is the Listener's Choice Award, supported by BBC Sounds. If you search for the Anfield Wrap in the box that comes up, you will get the Anfield Wrap, or TAW also gets us the Anfield Wrap as well. So TAW gets us the Anfield Wrap, or the Anfield Wrap in there. And then from there, if you vote for us, you'll then get an email that you'll have to click to confirm the vote. And then from there, you've registered the vote, and we appreciate it very much. We've never won this award in the British Podcast Award. We've come second 3 consecutive years. We discovered that last season we were a little bit closer than we thought last season, last year. Good Lord, not everything works like that, Neil. And so we thought, well, let's give it a real go, give it a big push this time out. So hopefully you've been able to do that for us, and hopefully you're happy to do so as well. We do always appreciate the support in any way in which it comes at the Anfield Wrap, and especially through what's obviously been a difficult time for a number of podcasts, for obvious reasons. Anyway, thank you very much indeed, and take care.
Sports Social Podcast Network.